So we continue in worship. We're going to be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 2 of Paul's first letter to Timothy. Let me read this verse, and then so you'll know how you need to be praying with me as we go. To the Lord. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we fall short. I fall short. We neglect the fullness of your authority that you've called us into in Christ. That your work through Christ is manifest in the whole realm of our being. Lord God, we ask that you go before us now and help us to understand how this is so, how these words fit into what you've directed. And help us to be patient, enduring your word, and give us understanding. Go before us now, we pray. Amen. Paul's been, since verse 9, has been really addressing his instruction towards women. He has been directing his attention towards women. And now in verse 15, we come to the end of that directly focused section on women. But I want us to think through these verses, 9 through 15, and this instruction to women from a slightly different perspective. So bear with me as we go along through this. And you daughters of the High King, you princesses of the kingdom. You princesses, don't be distracted by the fashions of Gucci and Oscar de la Renta. Don't be distracted. Dress in the gown of your royal state. Put on the attire of the daughter of the King. That of the High Prince, Christ Jesus. As Paul wrote in another place, forgive my paraphrase, but take off the old woman and put on the new. Stop worrying, you princesses of the High King, about the dazzling tiara. Rather, consider the crown of righteousness that is yours in Christ Jesus. As you hear these words, it's not too far removed from what Paul wrote in verses 9 through 10. I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. As is proper for the daughters of the King, princesses of the kingdom. And the instruction continues. As princesses of the kingdom, receive the tutoring of your high state. The secrets of the kingdom are yours to behold. No kingdom knowledge is to be withheld from you. You are royalty. You're a daughter of a king, and you shall have the knowledge of the royal state. It is yours. Only listen, you princesses of the king. Receive this holy instruction with dignity and grace. Receive this instruction with the respectability that is yours as a daughter of the king. Can you sense this perspective in Paul's words in verse 11? A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. However, you should not despise your position. How might one despise their position? How would one neglect their position? Turn away from their position? I was thinking through this. One way and one manner would be ingratitude or ungratefulness. The refusal to be thankful for the blessings and gifts that have been bestowed. This clearly would be a despising of one's position, despising of the blessings or gifts, to not be thankful for them. But we go on. What about coveting? Coveting would be an act of despising one's position. In the negative sense, coveting is a sinful wish or desire to possess that which one cannot or should not have. We remember that great episode of coveting from King Ahab with Naboth's vineyard. It would not have been wrong for King Ahab to desire more property. It's not wrong. He had the finances. He could have gone out and bought property. That is not the wrong issue. The issue is the only property that would satisfy King Ahab is property that belonged to another, and that other was not willing to separate from it or relinquish it. It was coveting. I will only be satisfied by this. I must have it. This coveting would be a despising of one's position. I think it goes right hand in hand with the lack of thankfulness, but not being satisfied with what has been given to you, what you have received, wanting what has been given to another. The third word I was struggling with, this third idea, is renouncing. Renounce means to refuse or resign a right or a position. And clearly, we might be able to see how that would be to despise their position. I don't want it. I won't do it. I refuse it. In our present conversation, a good illustration of this might be a queen who renounces her throne, dismissing her royal responsibility, or we might better say her royal privilege. Well, Paul, let's get back into this conversation in order that the princess, the daughters of the high king, might not despise her position. Paul wrote this: I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. To remain quiet in our present consideration should best be understood as remain in the dignity and grace and respectability that is yours or hers as a daughter of the high king. Mm-hmm. The daughter of the king does not have to fight for dignity. She does not have to wrestle for grace and respectability. They are hers. And she does not need to defend herself to attain these. When heard in this manner, this, but to remain quiet, seems like a contentment in your place as a daughter of the high king. She does not have to defend herself to attain grace, dignity, and respectability. Now, I guess here is the perfect place for that disclaimer. I am not saying, nor is Paul implying, that an abused woman should remain quiet. Whether that abuse is emotional or mental or physical abuse, we are not saying or implying that a woman in an abusive relationship should remain quiet. Now, I'm not saying that she shouldn't defend herself. I'm not saying she should endure the abuse. We recall that there are daughters of the king who have been harmed. There's that episode of the daughter of the king, Tamar, who was raped by her brother. In a fallen world, this type of abuse happens. But Paul is not talking about the fallen world. He's not calling you daughters of a worldly king. But he's calling and speaking to the daughters of the sovereign king of the universe. And in this regard, as his daughter, women in Christ Jesus, God's princesses, they do not need to defend themselves to gain dignity, grace, and respectability from him or by him. They are hers because she is his. Ladies, daughters of the King Almighty, you don't need to fight or try to attain something that is beyond what you've been given. You have the full grace and dignity and respectability as a daughter of the High King. And this brings us to Paul's statement in verse 15. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. What is it that Paul is saying when he says, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children? Before we move into this place, before we move into this place of considering these words, we need to acknowledge that these words are a tender place, a tender topic for some women who are unable to bear children. Can you imagine hearing these words? A woman will be preserved. In some translations have, a woman will be saved through the bearing of children, and yet then they are barren. In this conversation, we ought to grieve with these women. Their infertility is a place of personal hurt. And at least in some places and in some cultures, it's this topic, this thought, is a place of cultural hurt. We might think of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. Who, unable to bear children, was distraught by her 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 husband's other wife, grieving and distressed, and with bitter weeping, she mourned the fact that she was unable to bear children, and the society around was unable to understand or grieve in her pain, and in fact, imposed extra. I'd say us men don't quite understand it. Think of Elkanah, Hannah's husband, who says, "Are I not better to you than many, many sons?" Elkanah, you don't understand. This was to be my joy. This was to be my crown. This was to be something that I was specifically created for. It has been withheld. We need to remember that sin has affected all of creation. That all creation groans. And when I say this, I am not saying as the Jesus disciples, the saying, who sinned, this woman or her parents, that she's barren? But rather I'm saying, because sin entered the world in Genesis 3, all the physical world has been affected by sin, and the natural physical order has been disordered. And it's caused pain and suffering. To be respectful in this place, let us take a moment to pray and lament. Father, we pray that we pray that we would have, as your people, compassion for those who grieve and mourn in their barrenness. We remember that Zechariah had been praying for his wife to have a child, and you stepped into that world, and a lot of the stories in Scripture are you stepping into the world of barrenness and bringing about childbearing, and yet we experience there's many women who cannot and do not have this joy of the miraculous stepping into their world. And they hurt and they grieve. And they hear these words of Paul and they wonder if they've lost their dignity as a woman, as your daughter, if they've been harmed. I wondered if they even turn in on themselves and say, "Did I do something?" Lord God, we pray that you would be present in their hurting. But we are reminded by Scripture that you are bringing a redemption even into this pain and suffering. As Isaiah 54 comments, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord." And Lord, in Christ Jesus, you are bringing redemption into all areas of suffering and pain and disorder. Lord God, we ask that that would be felt. And even now in this time, that we would be, and I would be responsible for my words and how we continue. Lord God, bring redemption, we pray. We know it is ours in Christ. Amen. Hard words. But the women will be preserved through the bearing of children. What is it that Paul is saying here? What does it mean that women will be preserved through childbearing? Well, John Stott sees two ways, two possible translations for this, interpretations of this. First, women will come safely through childbirth. In fact, this would align with the fact that pain and is associated with the consequences of sin in Genesis 3. That the pain and peril of childbirth, which were part of God's judgment against Eve, would be set aside. That she will come safely through childbirth. But this is a poor way of interpreting these words, because such a promise is not true. Many godly women have died in childbirth throughout the years. So we can't say that Paul's words are that she will come safely through childbirth. Well, what is another interpretation? Second is that women will be saved through motherhood. That this bringing forth children and raising them up will bring salvation. But can we assume that Paul, who looked at Christ Jesus as the only hope for salvation, that the only way one can be saved is by believing in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, would we think that this Paul would say that a woman who gives birth to children can avoid believing in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins for salvation? That their vocation of bearing children would trump the salvation that is needed in Christ Jesus? Well, certainly not. Andrew Karstenberger says that childbearing is a figure of speech called syndike. Syndike means that the part, childbearing, stands for the whole. In which case that Paul's saying in childbearing, he's saying that not just in childbearing, but a woman's role in being devoted to the domestic sphere is what Paul is going after. So that it's not even about giving birth to children. So those who are barren women or those who have had children, he's not speaking about that situation, but rather he's speaking about a woman's place in the home. And this is what Paul means. It wouldn't go far from what he says in other places. In 1 Timothy 5:14, speaking to younger women, he expects these younger women to marry, to have children, to manage their households. And that's what he calls them to. He urges them to devote themselves to their domestic role. Which would fit right into the context of our passage, because we could say that she should devote herself to the domestic role, unlike Eve, who overstepped her God-given boundaries and consequently was deceived. And Paul doesn't want that to happen to the women in Ephesus. And so he says, attend the role that was given to you. Attend the household. Attend your children. Well, if this is syndike, if this childbearing deals with the whole realm of the domestic sphere, we should know for certain that Paul is not giving us men a get-out-of-chores-free card. He's not saying a woman's place is in the home and a man's place is out of the home. That is not his focus. So men, know that you have a responsibility along beside your wives in caring for the home and caring for your wife. No, what I think Paul is getting at and why Paul brings this to bear, this idea of childbearing is, we have this sense, and it's a sense throughout all the world, throughout all the cultures, that the highest place in God's kingdom on earth is the pastorate. You have this place that the pastor is going to be the most godly individual. He's going to be the one most closely associated with God. He's going to have the most heard prayers, the most godly prayers. He's going to be the most spiritual. If you need someone to pray for you, you want the pastor to be praying for you. If you are sick, you want the pastor to visit you, because he's the one that is in the highest sphere of God's kingdom. And it's an idea, a false notion in the world, that this individual has the highest place. And so if you are a godly woman whom Paul is addressing, you might have the false notion that if you really are a godly woman, then your place is to attained to the pastor teacher, that you are going to desire that, you're going to want that, you're going to be seeking that, and you're going to want that place of prominence because you are such a godly woman. And Paul steps in and says, hold on, hold your horses, there are roles within society, and I want to you to consider this, that the man is to lead, and the reason he is to lead is because he was created first. But the woman, that doesn't negate you, that doesn't dismiss you, you still, in fact, you have a role and a responsibility. And Paul's getting there. In chapter 3, he's going to say, now elders, I want the elders to be men. Well, what a great calling for men. Paul, how come us women don't have such a high calling? Why do they get something special? And Paul says, before we even get to that conversation, ladies, let me tell you about your high calling. Something special that's been given to you that no man can have. You get to bear children. This gift of bearing children is unlike any other position in all the world. The man has a special position in God's kingdom, but his special position only came by creation. Because you were created first, I want you to be first. I want you to lead. Well, where's my special abilities, God? Aren't you going to give me something so that give me at least a staff? Moses had a staff. No, you don't get anything. What you got is to remember that I created man first. But women, well, ladies, you have been specially fashioned and formed, designed for the task of bearing children. You've been given a womb to care for children in utero. To care and nurture for that child as it's developing. And then breast to feed that child once he's born. You have been given this special relationship with the child throughout gestation. Women, God has fearfully and wonderfully created you for this task. You have the divine role of bringing children into this world. And Paul wants you ladies, you daughters of the King, to consider this. To be thankful for your position, to consider this one blessing that no man can take away from you. We live in a society where men are trying to take this away from women. And I don't think it'll happen. Definitely couldn't happen in Paul's day. But science is trying to say, oh, women, you're not special. Have you seen the news reports? The news is right on this board with this. Man gives birth to baby. Well, what they didn't tell you is that man had XX chromosomes. And that man did not have a prostate. You know why? That man actually had a womb. And that man was a woman. And that was why she could give birth to a child. But you see how it gets rid of this idea of thankfulness. Oh, you women, you should be thankful. Thankful that you've been so privileged, been given such a wonderful body in order to do that which no one can take from you. Do that thing special that no man can step into your place to do. Are you thankful for it? Amen. Paul wants you to be thankful. He doesn't want you to despise your position, but be thankful about it. To think about it really in this grand sphere of God's order and God's creation, that God made you to. If God had not made women, there would have been no further descendants of Adam. Without the woman, there could have been no children. God would have had to been forming them all from the dust of the ground. And can you imagine how dirty this world would be? No. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you not to despise your lot, coveting something that hasn't been given to you. Could you imagine the princess of the king taking off her royal gown and dressing in the attire of the prince? I know it's an absurd illustration, but just think of the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton. They're going down the aisle and Kate decided not to wear the wedding dress that was specifically designed for her. Instead, she puts on the royal military uniform that Prince William wore. That bright red thing that and she decides to stroll down. I can wear this too. It's absurd. And yet that's exactly what Paul is getting at. Women, if you're trying to step into the role of men, you're actually stripping the things that God has given you to step into the things that God has given men, and you don't fit in it. And it doesn't become you, and it wasn't specifically designed for you. I want you not to covet what's been given to him, but be thankful for what's been given to you. And for the woman to try and put on the uniform of the man, the prince's clothing, is that exact situation that happened in Genesis 3. And it leads to the problems that are apparent in Genesis 3. When the woman didn't take dominion over creation, and then she stepped in to lead her husband. A total disordering of God's design. But then we have a third area. This area where women are despising their position. By not wanting to step into it. Yeah. By renouncing her position. It's the idea that it has been prominent in second wave feminism. Where I don't have to wear these garments. I don't want this lot. I can do everything just like a man can do, and I'm going to. I don't need to be a mother. I don't need to have children. In fact, a lot of ladies get to that age of 40 and 45, and now they decide they want to start a family, and they find out that their time has run out. But they've been renouncing that role so long. putting it off, to step into the world in a way that would demonstrate their worth and dignity, their grace and respectability. If I'm only a mother, I have no dignity. I have no respectability. And isn't that the message that was given to women through second wave feminism? But Paul doesn't want you to think about this in this manner. But step into it. Enjoy it. Love it. Be thankful to God for it. Well, then we have Paul getting to what is actually where we should think of what would actually preserve not just women but men. If they continue in faith. I was talking with a friend the other day. Faith has to have an object. And when Paul says, if they continue in faith, he's saying faith in Christ Jesus, that the woman who is in Christ Jesus is a daughter of the King. And because she's a daughter of the King, she's been able to step into her role as a mother, as a wife, as a homemaker. Go beyond that, but this position has worth and dignity. And because she has faith in Christ Jesus and all is satisfied in Christ Jesus, she can be content and doesn't need to wrestle outside the home for something. But this faith in Christ Jesus, it needs to continue. Man, this absurd thought. You have Noah, and he's proclaimed for his faith because he built this ark. And it took him like 100 years and building this ark, and he's working on it. Can you imagine if like after 50 years, he's like, I'm done with this. And instead of the ark, he has a giant canoe. And he's like, let's get all the animals on here and we'll do it. It's okay. And they all get on and it starts raining and the water just fills up that canoe until the faith has to continue. It's not okay to just begin with faith. The faith has to continue. And the woman who is in her sphere of influence, in her place, is going to be preserved in Christ Jesus as she continues in faith in Christ. But it goes on and says, and love and sanctity and all these things that God is working out in you. The love of God and the love of neighbor and the love of self. The love of just who God's created you to be. And it begins to just has this assurance in you. And the women in the world are saying, look how strong she is. Look how bold she is. I want to be like her. And you know why? Because she knows she is a daughter of the King. She can love herself exactly as the King has fashioned and formed her. She can love her place. Whether that's in the business world or in the home. She is content wherever God places her. She is happy and satisfied. She doesn't need to wrestle her way and drag her way up a ladder. Because she's a daughter of the High King of the universe. And sanctity. All this language is language Paul has been using of this woman throughout. Of not just women, but God's people. All this language of who they should be. He says that in 1 Timothy 1:18-19. Consider all the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience. That this is what the Christian ought to do. And 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction is this love, which I'm now commending to these women, and from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, these things that should be true of all of God's children. And is true of all of God's children. Because in Christ, all of this is ours. And even though it might not be manifest as of yet, the Holy Spirit is working within us, sanctifying us to make true what has been declared to be true in the heavenly places. So it is that Paul, once as he comes to this ending, says, "You ladies, you daughters of the King, be content as a daughter of the King in the place in which he has you, and enjoy it and love it, and know that what has been declared of you is going to be manifest one day in eternity. Don't despise your position." Father God, it's so easy, not just for women, but for men, to want to climb up a ladder, to try and attain something, to attain dignity and worth, to move into a place where they have value. And yet, in Christ Jesus, you say, "We are valuable." And Lord God, in the church, it's possible for godly women to try and move into a place in which you have a sphere in which you have created for a man. And there's just one sphere that is withheld from a woman. It's that of the leadership within the church and within the Christian home. And but likewise, what is withheld from a woman, there's also something withheld from men, and that is the bearing of children. And Father God, ultimately, we understand that it is by one specific childbirth that we are all saved. Mm-hmm. The birth of Christ Jesus, who came into the world to pay the penalty of sinners so that we would have life and might experience it to the fullness in its abundance. Help us to experience this life in its abundance now. Amen. Amen.